Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
I want to thank you, this church, for being so faithful to the Lord. And there are times I laugh at myself. I'm like, God, I don't know why you have me as a pastor. I've always told you, someone's asked me actually, what would I be doing if I wasn't a pastor? I said, my other goal would to be a lawyer. And that would have been so much fun too. But he called me and he uses me. And sometimes I'm so unorthodox, I even shock myself. Don't you get shocked sometimes? Come on, talk to me. Yes, hallelujah. Those online, it's so good to know that God uses, God chooses, and God uses. And he's no respecter of persons, amen? Well, today, we're so excited. We are now at the last passage from Matthew, because we've already done the Easter passages. And so, reshaping society's culture is our theme that we've gone through. And it's not that I'm excited to finish it. It's been such an exciting book. We're now at Matthew chapter 25 and the last verses of that, verse 14 to 30. Today's message is the believer's duty to the kingdom of God, to faithfulness in the kingdom of God. The believer's duty to kingdom of God faithfulness. That's what Matthew's closing in on. And we've gone, if you've not listened to the Matthew series, Reshaping Society's Culture, please go online. You will always find them. If you go onto YouTube and you put it in, you'll get our series. Yeah, you can go through our website. You'll find the messages. It has been a powerful series again, and I thank God for this direction. Today's passage, allow me to read it for you. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Very familiar passage also. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant who had 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into utter darkness, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Do you feel the sermon's done now? We can go home? That's a wow moment, isn't it? You see, we love the light things, and we love to appease. It's why we have a young generation that are growing up, the kids, and they haven't learned a sense of responsibility because we've made enough excuses why things don't have to be done. And Jesus ends this story with a really stark, a very strong warning that uselessness does not bless the kingdom of God. The entire world is using biblical concepts to mastermind their industries. You realize that. And many times, folks in the church, we're ignoring all these amazing, life-giving, successful analogies that the Bible gives us. When Jesus gives these stories and these analogies, they're building blocks for how we can conduct our lives and learn how to be excellent in everything we do, even in our business and in our life and in our growth in every capacity. And there's, even today, there are so many game shows nowadays that even demonstrate the perspectives of the Bible. They're using their tools and talents to their advantage, and they're gaining profit, and they're making great gain, and they're not content to be at a standstill. And these are biblical principles that they've employed even in game shows now. And we, the church, are still like, don't push me. Don't say the wrong word. I could be upset. Don't ask too much of me. And yet we complain we're not growing, we're not going. How do we grow, as the Bible just said, if we don't do something with what God has given us? I want to give an illustration of how in the world even the concepts work. PPC's own Marianne Oketch, who won Survivor 42, she demonstrated that very well in her game, and here's her explanation to us today as she shares how she masterminded the game.
Hello, PPC Church family, and thank you, Pastor Marie, for giving me the opportunity to talk about talents in the context of Survivor and to let me wear my buff again. But just as we've learned in the story of the talents, whether God gives you 5 talents, 3, or even 1, you are required to go and use the talents in that opportunity. In Survivor, there was an opportunity when God gave me just the 1 talent. It was the moment after everyone wanted me to go home. People wanted me out. No one wanted to work with me. It seemed that there was very little that I could do in that situation, but there was still that 1 thing that I could do. I could still go and help out at camp. I could still be friendly. I could still go and pray to God and thank Him every single moment about the opportunity that He gave me to be in that place of playing Survivor. And because I was faithful in that 1 talent, not only did I get to continue the journey in the game, but God gave me the opportunity to have more talent in Survivor. I had the opportunity to go and control the game, to decide who goes home. But just as there were things required with that 1 talent, there were requirements with that 5 talents. I couldn't just have all this opportunity and not do anything with it. Because I had the opportunity to go and decide where the vote would go, it was up to me to then make sure that I went and voted people out that would help further the game that I was playing, even if I was scared or nervous to, because God gave me the opportunity to do that. And so because I was able to do that and was faithful in the 1 and faithful in the 5, God helped me be able to go and win the game of Survivor. So no matter the amount of talents that you have in your situation, whether it's 1, 3, or 5, there are still things that you can do to be faithful to God.
Amen. Every believer of Christ has a duty to work for Him. And the parable begins with a narrative of reminding us that the master went on a long journey, symbolizing Christ who has ascended to heaven, but is returning one day soon, though we do not know when. That's the situation of the church. Christ ascended and Christ is waiting to return. Because there's a longevity in time, we forget that we are put here to use what he has given us to build up the kingdom of God until he returns. That is what the story is all about. So Matthew 25, the master entrusted this property, these gifts, these talents to his servants. He called the servants personally. He didn't send his message indirectly. He gave it personally and specifically. Do you realize that you've been personally called by God? You've been specifically selected by God. You may say, I'm not deserving. I'm not the white one. But when he calls, he equips. I'll tell you, I may make jokes about myself, but I'm so thankful to God how he has gifted me to command pulpits around the world and even to lead in where he has planted me. It is the gifting of God we use, and the more we use it, the more we grow in it. And so he calls each one specifically, and he gave them the amount of talents to work with in accordance to his expectation of them and his knowledge of what they're capable of doing. Do you know that God knows what you're capable of doing and he will not give you more than you can handle? See, when we realize that, I can't do this, he wouldn't give you more than you can handle. You can do it through Christ who strengthens you. And so the master was very careful. He knew who he was calling. He selected the talents. He gave them the right amount. He knows his subject. He knows their personality. He knows their mindful expectation and their perspective. He knows their internal abilities, which is their confidences. He knows their external abilities, which is their able-bodied lifetime training. He knows how confident you will be in certain areas, and he wants you to grow your confidence. He knows how much you lack confidence, so he'll give you one talent. Okay, this is all you're going to be confident in, but if you grow the one to two, then you get more. And so he knows what your levels and your capabilities are. And folks, do you realize the same master who sent his son Jesus, same Father, God the Father, who sent his son Jesus, created each one of us with a capacity to do his bidding. Every one of us has a capacity. The strangeness, and I'm going to push on this button today, the strangeness of many becoming saved and then just sitting in salvation all the rest of their life is, I've got to ask you, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? He saved you. He blessed you. He's called you. He's given you the word. If all you have is one word, then that one word is good enough. What are you doing with all that God has entrusted to you? I remember years ago when I just started out on the mission field, and we went to Macau, China, and we were just doing, we couldn't do open services, so we were having these house services, but we were going in the community, and we were just inviting people to the service. And one day as we were walking, a bunch of people approached us, and at that time I was much younger than my 39. You know, don't strike me, Lord. But I was young in the faith, and I was with an evangelist, Denis Durand. And as we're walking in this community, this demon-possessed person came at us. And at that time, I didn't know what to do with that. And Denis stepped forward, and there was a young girl who had just gotten saved in one of our house meetings, and she came along with us. And as we were standing there watching this person literally bounding at us, she stepped forward and stood in front of it. And I was thinking, I grew up in church. Like, I don't know what she's doing. She had been demon-possessed. And when she saw this happen, she thought, I'm the one that knows this. She didn't know exactly how to cast it out, but she knew, I'm not afraid of it. Each one of us have something in our life that God already took us through, and that thing is for us to use it to bless somebody else. See, people treat the Lord's blessings differently. When the master called the servant and distributed the talents individually and specifically to them, this is what he did. He gave one 5, one 2, and one 1. All three were now responsible to use what they've been given to make an impact in the society to which he had planted them. If we're going to change society's culture, it is not my preaching only from this pulpit that will do it. It's you infiltrating society and using your gift wherever he's planted you. Praise God. So two of them took their responsibility seriously and began to work with what they had. They were faithful, they were diligent, they did their best within their ability, and they saw success as they began to do it. The last one, as we read, he was irresponsible and uncaring. Here's a word I'm going to use to break down the last part of Matthew. In Matthew 30, where Jesus condemns them. May I just use the soft word, because we're in a day we can only use soft word. He was irresponsible and uncaring. This servant didn't try. He just developed excuses and settled into his excuses confidently. Do you know that anyone that's always given an excuse before they try a situation, that they are disappointing God? I can't do it. I've often said to the church and online, I'll say it to you, it's amazing. If you ask someone in the secular world to do something, they'll say, I'll try. If you ask someone in the church, they'll go, I'll pray about it. I'm sorry. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. He didn't say, go pray about whether or not you should labor. We should step up and see. Just like I love that Raphael said, I can add something new to my resume. I mix concrete. Never in his life did he see how concrete was mixed. But folks, when you step up, you begin to see what God can use you to do. And so the church, today was membership. The church is made up of its faithful members. And adherence, every member should be a working member, but every adherent should be a serving adherent. You should be doing something somewhere, because it's not about the church, it's about what God has done for you. When you make it about the church, you're denying who God is. When you make it about who God is to you, then you're embracing others and inviting others to come to know the Savior that you know. Folks, there are rewards for works well done for the master. The Bible says when the master returned, he had no exemptions and no exceptions in his judgment, but he judged each one according to their accomplishment. Notice, he didn't judge them according to his expectation of the other's talents. He judged them according to what he had given each one. He already knew what each one was capable of. When he gave 5, he knew that one is amazingly able to handle 5. I'll give you another little bit of myself. I am an incredible multitasker. It drives my staff crazy, right? I will listen to you while I'm typing. I'll write something, and if you're telling me something, ask them, right, Christy? She'll be telling me something, and I'm already writing a script, because my mind is never off. It's always on. I'll jump out of my bed in the middle of the night and write something. Not everybody, and I would never ask you to do that, because it could drive you mad. Now, I do drive my family mad, and I drive whoever travels with me mad, because I'll jump up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and be like, what are you doing? I got a thought, and I'll be writing it. Or I'll be on the car coming in to work off, Christy, go on your computer. You got to type everything in my head right now. And I could drive you crazy. I could drive me crazy. But that's why he gifted me and others. How many of you are super multitasker? Be honest with yourself. Sometimes we're too pious. Put the hands way up. Let me see it. Super multitaskers. There you go. Yes. You put that hand up. You too. Okay, that's the 5 talents. He gives us more and more, and the more you can do, the more he gives you to do, or the more you see to do. How many would say, okay, I'm moderate. I'm good at this, that, and the other, and I just work at it all, and I have my plan. You're the strategic people. If I didn't have, like, the Pastor Dennis, I don't know what you guys would do, because I'm always, and he's like, okay, now we got to put a plan in place. I'm like, you put the plan in place. I have another thing in my head right now. How many of you are the stable multitasker, but at another level. Put those hands up. There you go. Moms, you should all have the hand up because you can cook and clean, wash and bottle wash and all of that. Oh, yeah, right, husbands? How many would say, well, you're not going to want to accept the one talent because it didn't look good in the Bible online? Online, no one can see you, so you could type in there, I'm a one talenter, because in here, we'll get to know who you are. See, the first servant, five, he labored and he brought 100% return. And because of that, he was highly commended. He received additional gifts lavished on him, given great joy. Joy is one of the best commodities in life, more precious than wealth. Can I just say that? Do you know what's more precious than wealth? Joy. Would I'd prefer wealth, Pastor. Yeah, wealth and misery. I'd rather have joy. And to die happy. Die wealthy, somebody else has joy on your money. The second servant had two talents, and he acknowledged that God gifted him, not to the same measure as the first guy, but he didn't sit around comparing, competing, or complaining. Do you know what the problem is? One talent, you sit and you compare, you sit and you compete, and you sit and you complain. But instead, he labored with the two he had, and he received 100% of what he had, and the master was well pleased. It wasn't the amount that mattered. It was the measure of the sacrifices and the confidence to trust the master that he knew what he was giving you and that you were able to rise to it. And so when the master commended him, he says, I'm going to give you great rulership and joy. You know what he's now giving him? I'm going to give you more authority along with joy. Can you imagine? You're there going, wow, Pastor. You mean he got double while he also had double himself. And then God gave him that. The third one came boldly. And this is the part that I think the master hit him on. He came boldly. Do you know sometimes we have boldness in the wrong area?
Master, I know that you're a harsh master and you did it.
And he's starting to rank off all that he saw, complaining, comparing, competing, and making excuses.
I know who you are, master. I know you're,
and the master's going, oh yeah? If you know me, then do something about it. Do you see what I'm saying, folks? If you know the Lord, fear God. If you know the Lord, do what's right before the Lord. We need to be careful of our excuses that we bring before Christ because we will stand judgment for it, and that's what this passage is showing us. And here's the part about it, folks. If you've got one talent and you're doing nothing in the kingdom of God, you're going to dry up spiritually. Many who complain have dried up spiritually because I wish they wouldn't say, oh, Pastor, she uses words in the pulpit. I wish she wouldn't. Why don't you come up here and preach? See what word comes to your head. We judge rather than jump. I love all of our workers, the laborers here. You know, you've got, I don't see Marcia, but I never commend, I don't get, where is she? Where is Marcia? There you are over there. Marcia has been faithfully serving as one of the head ushers for decades. She's not as old as I am, but but you never see her complaining. See why? You know why she doesn't have time to complain? She's busy. Folks, when you've got one talent and you're not using it, you get to see what everybody else is doing wrong. When you're busy with your two talents, you don't have time to figure out what's wrong and what's right, who didn't sing right, who didn't dress right, who didn't act right, who didn't speak to me right, who didn't shake my hand going out. Don't you have a hand? I'm always amazed at the people who complain about, nobody said hello to me. So your ears work, but not your mouth? Hello, let's be real.
Oh, it's only my ears work when I go to church. I want to hear people say hello to me.
Well, try and use your mouth, the one that you were telling others that nobody said hello to you. Use it to say hello to somebody. Because, come on, somebody, let's give a praise unto the Lord. See, Christ, the master was not expecting the one talent to do everything. He's going, I know what you're good at, and I gave you that to use. Would you use it for the kingdom? Would you grow it so that you don't go empty? Because when you don't do something, you go empty. You become dry and brittle and angry and never happy. Worship, they're jumping and praising, and you're like, I don't feel anything. You're not feeling anything because you're not doing anything. When you're doing something, you begin to feel something. So the master lambasted him and condemned his laziness. He was charged as being wicked and lazy and inconsistent. Why? Because he failed to use the little that God gave him. And he buried that little and then came boasting to the master. This is what I'm going to beg everyone. Be careful of your intellectual knowledge. I didn't even write that in, but now it just popped in my mind. See, I told you, if you're up here, it will happen. You know what just came to me? We're so caught up with intellectualism, which is the way of the world right now, that we use our intellect and we try to use it to supersede what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, be busy for the master. Our intellect says, thought master, I evaluated the situation, and when I look at it, I see that you are this and that, and this and that, and because you are this, this and that, then I made the calculation and the permutation that this is how I will then behave. You know what just happened at the end after you finish all the permutation and the calculation? Pride. And what? Arrogance. And emptiness. Bible says in Romans 12:11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. What's the word? Enthusiastically. Read this with me. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord. Can I serve the Lord enthusiastically like this? Can I serve the Lord enthusiastically like? We serve the Lord enthusiastically by becoming involved in some way. And he didn't tell them how to do it. He didn't even tell them where to do it. He just said, do something within your capability. Folks, no two people are given the same abilities. We have in this church a set of twins, Faith and Mia. They're very similar. You've seen them. They're co-joint and attached, looking exactly alike. In fact, I do not call them by one name. No matter which one I see, I go, Faith Mia? Because I don't know them differently. But I'll tell you, they're very different. One is gifted artistically and is a design person. The other is gifted as a media person. One is gifted in praying. The other one is gifted in discerning. One likes to cook. One likes to draw. They're so different in their gifts. But when you look at them, you can't differentiate them facially. Every person is gifted differently. And in the same way, every believer has at least one gift that can be used for the master before Jesus our Lord returns. So my question today is, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing? It's a question. What are you doing with what God has given you? Because each person has equal opportunity to be using what God has given them to be faithful to God. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove themselves faithful. Those who have been given a trust must prove themselves faithful. So here's what Jesus' exact words were to the unfaithful one. He says, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. The master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into utter darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God is not a harsh God, but Christ was using this story to make a very strong statement that you have something to do, something to give. Don't bury it. Don't die on the vine. Don't just sit back. Don't make excuses. Don't just do nothing. Because it's an incredible blessing to do something. It brings great joy. Do you know it brings joy when you invite someone to church and they show up? The arena. We had our Easter service at the arena. We've calculated that over at least 50 to 60% were church folks. The other 40% were people invited. What happened? You invited and they came, and now many are beginning to show up and say, I was a part of the arena. Or you meet them here and there and they say, I was a part of that. What happened? You used your gift. You reached out. You stepped out of the darkness. You weren't afraid of, what if I ask them and they don't come? You don't have responsibility over their reaction. You just have responsibility to do something.
Oh, but I'm afraid if I say, oh, come in here at Jesus service, they'll lambaste me.
So what? So are you going to die? Are you putty? Folks, we all have different gifts, but it can make it our testimony. Do you know how exciting it was for those who invited others and saw them come? And even online in this service, wherever you are, today I'm talking about here, but wherever you are, whatever city, whatever town, whatever country, extend yourself for the kingdom of God. The master is coming back soon. You don't know who you could say something to, and it will make a change and a difference in their life. Oh, but I'm afraid of how they'll react to me. Put your pride aside. Put the fear aside. Do something. Just recently, I approached some men that were with a trucking company, and I just heard the Holy Spirit say, go to them, and I went, and I started just talking to them, and I was just saying to them, oh, you know, we're like really good people here, you know, we're like God people, and I was making jokes with them, and one of the older gentlemen said to a young one, the way your life is a mess, you ought to go. And so after I was walking away, I turned around and said, we're having an outdoor service. He said, you and your family should consider coming. My job is not to make them come. It's to do what? Just do the... Isn't it God that will move on the heart? There was a gentleman that showed up after the arena service. He went to a hairdresser to get his hair braided. He was thinking about going to church because he used to go back in his country. He was here for school. And the hairdresser said, you ought to go to that church. Apparently the hairdresser doesn't come here. Or the hair braider doesn't come here, but said, you go to that church. It's because we're a good church. He didn't go for months. And then he heard about the arena. And he said, I'm going to go check them out. Came in. I don't know if you're here today, but if you are, continued welcome. But he came in and he felt the peace of God here. God blessed that person who said, go there. Even though it wasn't their church, they're like, you know what? That one's good for you. That one's close to you. Go there. Folks, even if it's not for this church, send people into the kingdom of God. Anybody with me? That's what matters. And so I want to just encourage you this morning as I close. Here's the other one. To the faithful. You heard the unfaithful. To the faithful, the master was full of praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. I'll give you more. And I'll give you more authority. He gave them more blessing, more authority. He says it comes with joy. I shared all that about reaching out. Because when you reach out, there's joy in watching the results. Don't you get joy when you see the result? Do you want joy in your life? Do you know we live in a very miserable time, a very deep, dark time where people are just pressed and depressed, and the church has never had so much depression because we used to live in that joy factor. Do you know why we had that joy factor? We were constantly remembering that Jesus is coming soon and we've got a job to do. That's where the joy came from. Do you know where the joy came from? Some of your great-grandparents will tell you, oh, it was pressing on in Jesus and letting others know he's been faithful. It was using what you have for the kingdom. So folks, this morning, as I come to a close, there are things that should never describe saved people. Here it is, I've got them on the board. Idle service. Idle service is condemned by the Lord. Slothfulness. Slothfulness stimulates the flesh. Inactive righteousness. Inactive righteousness means that we say we're in right standing with God, but we're inactive in doing the things that keeps us in right standing with God. And indulging comforts, that's robbery of what God has called you to do. Don't rob yourself of what God has called you to do. Let's pay attention to what God wants.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.